are live. What's going on, folks? And welcome to episode 10 of the Nuclear Golf Podcast. We've got a special PGA preview tonight, PGA Championship this week at Quail Hollow. We've got a lot of stuff to discuss, though, prior to that. Obviously, the Truist Championship recap. Sepp Straka won the Truist. We also have Jordan Spieth, who's going for his career Grand Slam this week. Going to get into a little bit about the Mavericks landing the number one pick, but was it rigged? We'll discuss that. Free Ryder Cup tickets are being handed out, and we're also going to get into a little bit of TGL expansion talk, as well as good guy Bryson DeChambeau. So good feel-good story about Bryson this week. You guys ready to roll? Tim, I don't know if his audio is working once again. Every week it seems like this guy has technical issues. He's frozen right now, folks. That's we'll let him be
before.
Folks, this is the danger of hiring somebody damn near 50 to be on your show. Like, he literally here he comes, he's trying to come back.
He's blanking out, but we'll just go on, and you know he'll be back at some point here, I'm sure. Mike, I know you were dialed into the Truist this week. You had a chance to watch. Sepp Straka's obviously had a pretty good season so far. He becomes only the second player, along with Rory, to have a multi-win season. What are your thoughts on Sepp Straka, who's really emerged as a powerhouse player this year?
Yeah, I mean, he's really been the most underrated player this year, and I feel like he's really finally put himself on the map with this big win. You know, I've got some pretty cool stats here. He's second in greens and regulation percentage this year, third in scoring average, first in birdie average, fifth in strokes gained total, second in approach to green, 14th in driving accuracy, and fifth in proximity to the hole. So 9th in the official world golf rankings. I know Hutch doesn't really care for that, but this guy's
absolutely out right now. I like Sepp.
No, I know you. I'm just talking about the world golf rankings. That's what I was getting at. I know you like Sepp, though.
Yeah, no. I'm very selective when it comes to those. Like, if it's somebody I like and they're ranked highly, then yeah, absolutely, it's the greatest way to rank people.
So when Tiger becomes number one again,
it was always the official world golf ranking. No, this is his second win of the year too. Like, so he's been on a heater. Been playing great, and he's made a lot of money this year. A lot of money.
Yeah. So Sepp Straka wins the Truist. It's a T2 finish for JT, who's really rounding into form. For a little bit, it looked like maybe he was going to run up and maybe even grab the lead. But Justin Thomas, that would have been back-to-back wins for JT, actually, if he would have been able to get it done yesterday. And then Shane Lowry also with a T2. And it's been a little bit of a frustrating go for Lowry. Obviously, he and Rory did win the Zurich a few weeks back. But in terms of solo wins on the PGA Tour, it goes back all the way to 2019 when Shane Lowry won the Open. So we're going on 6 years that Shane Lowry hasn't won a solo event on the PGA Tour. He did win the BMW PGA at Wentworth in 2022, I believe. But on the PGA Tour, he's been really searching for that solo victory. He actually declined the media post-round. Obviously was running hot after the finish, and understandably so. Just what are your guys' thoughts, Hutch, on Shane Lowry, who hasn't been able to close?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's got to be frustrating for him, but he continues to put himself in a position to get it done at some point. It's, if you keep putting himself in that position, it's going to happen, right? He's too talented to not have it happen. I want to talk a little bit more about the declining the media, though, because wasn't he the guy that said a couple weeks ago that sometimes they need like an hour or so to chill out before they talk to the media?
And yeah,
he got his chance to do it right there.
Yeah, he's on the record, you know, defending some of the guys that have been declining media, Morikawa, and it was the Morikawa issue, right? That was the main one.
Yeah.
Lowry was saying, like, you know, guys need 30 minutes. I can't be talking to you guys straight away right after a tough loss like that. And he did that yesterday, right? He declined media. He wasn't available. So we saw it yesterday. He had at 17, Shane Lowry had 22 feet to tie the lead. He missed it. He didn't hit a good putt. He three putted for bogey at 18 as well.
Yeah.
Straka took the lead after he parred 16.
18, the three putt on 18, like I get, right? Like he had to give it a run. He had to make the putt to get in. He just kind of got a little carried away, blew it by. That's whatever. But he just missed a couple chances down the stretch. But I mean, again, like he's so good. He's won a major championship. He's a huge part of the European team for the Ryder Cup. Like if he continues to put himself in these positions, eventually it's going to happen. You can't be that talented and go without winning when you're giving yourself chances for too long. Yeah, 6 years is kind of a long time. And he's playing more on the PGA Tour now than he was on the DP World Tour anyway. So we'll see. We'll see it. I believe that we'll see it before. Probably by the end of the year, honestly.
I agree, Hutch. Yeah, the way he's been playing, you know, this past, you know, several months, he just continues to put himself in positions to win. So, you know, it's just a matter of time. You know, his game's in the right place. You know, he just has to, you know, hit those couple shots there down the stretch that he needs to come away with the tournament and stay away from, you know, some of the bonehead mistakes sometimes.
Just going back to Straka for a sec. So he shot 268 on Sunday, made an eagle and three birdies. He also won the American Express back in January. And like we said, he joins Rory as the only multi-win player on tour this season. I mean, that's quite a feat. Mm-hmm. These deep fields, he's been able to emerge victorious twice.
Damn Europeans.
Yeah.
We're in trouble, Dutch.
Yeah, it's big for them that they've got it. I think Sepp should play for Team America though, because he's from Austria. But come on, he went to UGA. Yeah. He's a dog, baby.
Yeah,
he's a dog.
There's a little quote from his coach here on Golf Week. He said, "I don't want to sound like some weird prophet, but I knew he would be this good because I saw it the first few times we played that this guy was the real deal. This is John Tillery." I knew if he trained and practiced the right way and worked on his body a bit, he could be a top player. And I mean, that's kind of what we're seeing now out of Sepp Straka. He's just a huge guy as well. It's just so powerful and strong, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Doesn't really have any flaws in his game right now.
No real flaws at all. He's, it's crazy. Good timing for him to be peaking too with the PGA right here. And
he's one of the top 10 favorites to win the PGA.
Yeah,
next week, as far as odds go.
There were three guys actually that shot 65 on Sunday and finished tied fourth: Cantlay, Fleetwood, and Bridgman. All shot 5 under 65 yesterday. They all finished T4. So those guys are hot going into this week. Mm-hmm. And you know, going into the PGA now, I mean, Quail Hollow is a place that Rory McIlroy has won four times prior. He won in 2010, he won in 2015, he won in 2021, and he won in 24. And he also made it to a playoff and lost to Ricky Fowler in a fifth tournament as well. This guy's scoring average at Quail Hollow is 69.5, which is I think it's like 15 shots better than anyone else in the field, according to Golf Digest. And he's I got that wrong. He's 55 strokes under par better than anyone else in the field, Quail Hall.
Ricky, right?
Yeah, he's one shot better than anyone else in the field with a scoring average of 69.48 at Quail Hollow. He has 10 top 10s in 14 starts at Quail Hollow. He missed the cut just once.
We need like a Rory JT playoff at the PGA just to see who loves Quail Hollow more. Who's the better Quail Hollow player? But it's going to be a great week. I'm so excited for it. Great week. It'd be better if Tiger was there, but it's going to be a great week either way.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Justin Thomas's record at Quail Hollow is really good as well. All right.
Yeah. and his just his record in general at PGA Championships is pretty good. Plus, he's in top form, like you just said. Like, he got second this week, right? And you know, he won the week before, so he's playing great. He's kind of been rounding in the form last week. We've talked to Ryan about that kind of a few times in the last couple of weeks. So I think JT is going to be able to make a pretty big run, especially at kind of his quote unquote one of his favorite places at one of his favorite tournaments, and he's playing great. So it again, like, I'm going to sound like a broken record 1,000 times saying this, but it's going to be a great week. Like, I'm very excited for it. I hope that the rain that they got today doesn't soften it up too much, because it was, I'm sure you saw some of the pictures and videos, like, it flooded out there.
Oh yeah, it was crazy. So much
Hideki on the green.
Yeah, Hideki on the green on the in the rain, just grinding. And also, yeah, JT won in 2017 at Quail Hollow too, right?
Yeah.
So that's correct. Yeah, this is a place that, you know, Rory and JT are very familiar. I've had a lot of success here. But, I mean, it's just shaping up to be a great week. Such a great course, such great major championship venue. You know, there's reports out there that the greens are running like 15 on the stimp meter this week, and that there's a project, like, there was a rumor. I don't know where this came from exactly. Somebody said that the winning score is going to be over par. Who knows if it's true or not. It's the PGA. I mean, you could get it on both ends, but 5+ inch rough was also rumored. So I guess we'll see when we really get some more insight from the practice rounds.
That would be so sick. The rain's got to slow it down a good bit, but that would be so sick if that's the way it was. That's like, I mean, that's what a U.S. Open should be. It's like that. I mean, we've had that discussion about how I think the U.S. Open is the best when it's like that, but.
Mm.
That's what it should be. But this should, again, this is going to be a great week. You guys are going to hate me by the end of it saying that over and over, but it is literally like, this is, I haven't been this excited for a tournament since the Masters.
Yeah.
Good one. I wanted to say some more, but this is going to be great. Yeah. I'm very excited for it. You just got like everybody who's at the top of the game name wise, like they're all in pretty good form. So it should, in theory, lend itself to having a pretty stacked leaderboard.
Yeah, I mean, Scotty just tied the scoring record, too, the week prior. And I feel like that's kind of getting glossed over.
You know, the Birdie Fest Open.
Hey, I don't care. Yeah. That's impressive regardless.
It is. Yeah. I mean, for sure. And he's definitely, I haven't seen any odds or anything, but he's probably the favorite, I would think. Him and Rory got to be right up there.
1A, 1B, yeah.
Yeah. Look, again, great week. I'm sure Tim would say it'd be a great week, too, if his internet worked.
Yeah. Tim's with us in spirit.
Yeah, guys, I got to correct something, actually. I'm completely confused there on the tournament conditions. That stuff that was being reported was from Oakmont Media Day, which was
for the U.S.
Open. U.S. Open. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I was gonna say. Well,
that's what it should be. The U.S.
Open. Yeah, that sound. I was gonna say. Yeah, that sounds like a U.S. Open, not PGA. That just
doesn't sound.
Yeah, that's but a still sound on my part. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, that's what I was watching some of the creators that were playing Oakmont the other day, like Kyle Berkshire, Paige Spiranak, Evan Thompson, what's his name? Steele.
Roger.
What's his first name? Roger Steele, yeah. Yeah, they were all playing out there, and it looked pretty nasty out there. So, and we're a month out, so it's going to be real interesting.
Yeah, just looking back at the PGA championship scoring and victory margins of victories. I mean, Xander won in 2024, finished 21 under par. Brooks won in 2023, 9 under. JT in 2022, 5 under. 6 under in 2021 for Phil. I mean, bit of a disparity there in scoring. It's kind of been all over the map, to be honest. I mean, going from 5 under to 21 under over the last 7 years. So, I mean, it can be really low, or it can be kind of mid-tier. In 2020, Morikawa won at 13 under. But we can also get a 6 or a 5 under or an 8 under, like Brooks in 2019 was 8 under. So it really varies. It depends how the course is playing, how it's set up. I mean, they got rain today, so like it's going to be long right now. Just depends how much they chop it down, and we'll see. But JT in 2017 finished 8 under, 2-stroke win over Molinari, Oosthuizen, and Reed.
That's perfect. Like single digit under par. I sign me up. Like that should be a good week. I don't know how hard it is to do that at the PGA though, with, cause you got these teaching professionals playing. Like, no, we had kind of mixed up the US Open conditions with the PGA just a little bit earlier. I was sitting here thinking, like, if that's really what it is, like, what are these teaching professionals going to shoot? Are we going to have like some 95s out there? Like, that would be wild to see.
Yeah.
Like, some of those people that do the US Open qualifying and can't break 100. But that'd be interesting.
Unless the block party gets hot again.
Let's go, baby.
The block party continues.
Me and Brent going to be on that block party train this week.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine he goes low in any round. I mean, it's going to be Thursday or Friday, but imagine he went out there and shot like even like one, like 2 under or something.
Yeah, I'd be excited.
It'd be exciting for sure if he did. I mean, yeah,
the block. You know what they've always
be out in full force.
What they've always said about Michael Block is he's Rory McIlroy without the distance. They've said that since day one, I think.
Hmm.
Oh. That's what I've always heard. Tim's back, baby.
Tim, how's that internet speed treating you right now?
Great. Love it. Absolutely excited.
Did you break anything? That's what I need to know.
I'm going to leave that. No comment.
Yeah. Next question.
He's just here so he doesn't get fined.
I'm just here so I don't pay a fine. Yep.
Yeah.
Fellas, it's looking like we're going to be getting temps in the, you know, mid to upper 80s this week in Charlotte for the PGA. So pretty hot and humid out there. You know, a little bit of rain in the forecast and cloudy conditions, not a whole lot of sun, just kind of overcast. Chance of rain on Thursday and Saturday, pretty low chance though. So not sure if the rain's going to be a factor or not, but it's going to be pretty hot out there for the guys. So we'll see how it plays this
anytime there's a big tournament and you tell me that there's temperatures in the mid 80s and weather's going to be great, I just think, damn, like, what if Tiger could play? Like, what
I was
if
thinking
Tiger
the exact same
this?
Thing, Hutch. I'm like, Tiger would have been chomping at the bit right now.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Tim, what do you think about it? Quail Hollow, PGA this week.
I don't know. It's supposed to rain today through Thursday, right? Or till Wednesday.
It rained today, for sure.
Today, it's supposed to rain tomorrow, I thought, and maybe Wednesday a little bit. But, I mean, if that softens up the course, Thursday and Friday might play pretty easy or easier.
Like right into Saturday, Michael Block's hands.
Saturday and Sunday could look like the two tougher days. But I'm thinking it's going to be a bombers. I think the winner's going to probably be a bomber. Just have that feeling.
I mean, it's a long course. If it's soft like that, like, you just need somebody who's got just crazy accuracy who's going to take advantage of Thursday and Friday. I don't
Sounds
know if they
like
got
Scotty
out there,
to me.
Yeah, Scotty's one of them. Michael Block, another.
Yeah.
Who's Michael Block? Is he on Liv?
He should have got a bag to go back then.
Fellas, one guy to watch this week is Xander. He finished second and T14 in his last three appearances at Quail Hollow.
Strong
iron. McIlroy was 17 under last year and beat Xander by 5. Xander finished at 12 under. There's some other guys that have also played well That like that was for the Wells Fargo, like Wells Fargo, for the Truist, yeah. Right? Right. So, but I mean, Tommy Fleetwood also has three top 15s in his last three starts at Quail. Patrick Reed is also a guy to watch at Quail. He was T2 at the 2017 PGA. followed it up with finishes of 8 and T28. He also has a T6. So, I mean, Max Homa's also played pretty well. He won the 2019 Wells Fargo, so he's history at Quail Hollow. And he's been rounding into form a little bit, right?
Yeah, this could really be a get right spot for him. If you, sometimes you just need to go quote unquote home or somewhere where you feel comfortable. So maybe this could be the start of something good for him.
Yeah. The crazy stat though that sticks out is the Rory stat. Best cumulative score to par in tour events at Quail Hollow since 2010. This is courtesy of Justin Ray. Rory 102 under. Over 50 rounds. Next best is Ricky Fowler at 47 under, and then it's Phil at 44 under. So
yeah, it's
like one of those Tiger stats in the major championships when he was like 100 and something under par and the next guy's over par or whatever. That sounds like one of those.
Yeah.
You guys giving Ricky a shot at all? Even top 20 maybe?
Yeah, I could see a top 20, but in terms of actually contending, I don't know. I feel like that might be a stretch.
I mean, he's second in scoring over that same period.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just Ricky was just such a different player. I don't know. I'd love to be wrong. I'm down for a Ricky comeback.
Here's something to look at. Data Golf has ranked, you know, the top five guys in the field, just by, you know, their rankings. They do their, like, the World Golf rankings is out the window now, but
sure,
they've ranked the field by like total strokes gained and all that stuff, right? So they have Scotty number one, Xander number two, Rory number three, Rom number four, and Ludwig number five. That's ranking the field in majors since 2021. Of the guys that are teeing it up this week.
And Ludwig didn't play very good last week at all.
Mm-hmm. No, he was definitely off.
Rom's up. I mean, Rom can do it. Rom can certainly do it. Rom's got the game for it. I know Tim's going to hate on it, but Rom could do it. The problem is, like, and I saw somebody, and I'm sorry to whoever it is because I don't remember who I saw tweeted, but it was something about how the one thing Liv doesn't do is really set their guys up to do well in majors, because outside of Bryson, really nobody plays well in majors. And I don't know if it's the schedule, because they don't get to play, like, here they're not playing the week before, but they're coming from Mexico, then going to Korea, and now back here doing this. So I don't know if that plays into it or not. But the person that pointed it out was basically saying that Bryson's really the only one who's had any success in majors since joining there. But I'd like to see Rom give it a run this week too. That'd be nice.
Maybe they'll let him tee off on hole number four to start the tournament.
All right, let's move on. Tim's got this exhibition. He's got just the same, like, he just recycles the same things, like, oh, hole number four, shotgun start. They're gonna buy mulligans, whatever, blah blah blah. Like, it's not a scramble.
I just back up the facts that you make. How they don't play well.
Lord have mercy.
Yeah,
Lord
have mercy. That is a good point, though. The travel with Liv is very tough compared to what the tour guys have, and on top of when the tournaments are, you know, if you're going back and forth from all these different countries, and then you have this time off in between and you don't really have anywhere to play, you know, you're relying on getting right at home, and that only gets you so far. So it's definitely a disadvantage for those guys.
But it depends. Like, I mean, they played the week before the Masters, so, and that didn't really help out that much either. So I don't know what the right answer is. I just would like to see John Rahm or, you know, Brooks Koepka's a PGA championship killer. Like, I know he hasn't played well lately, but he could easily peak. And he's not one of those guys where it's like, oh, he's not been playing well recently, or he's been playing great recently, so this is going to be an indicator of his form. he's told us 1,000 times he doesn't care about smaller tournaments. Like he plays for majors. That's what he's here for. Mm-hmm. So it would not shock me in the slightest to see him be up there towards the top of the leaderboard. Now he could miss the cut by a 10. That wouldn't shock me either. But he very well could be up there. He's a major championship player.
Absolutely.
One storyline that's kind of flying under the radar now, it feels like almost. I mean, it was a storyline kind of going into it like a couple weeks ago, I think. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it's kind of flying a little bit more under the radar, and that's Jordan Spieth, who's going for the career Grand Slam this week. It just feels like it's not
no chance.
It feels like it's not like the biggest story going in, right?
Yeah.
You guys feel that?
I think he needed a better week in Philadelphia in order for that to have gained more steam. You know, he really played well on Sunday at the Byron. You know, his shot was at 62, I believe. Mm-hmm. I mean, it looked like the Spieth of old. You know, he was chipping in. If the ball striking was back, that's really held him, I feel like, in check is his iron play, which is usually one of the staples in his game. And, you know, it kind of got away from him this past week. I expected more from him personally. I thought he was getting ready to turn a corner. But you never know. Maybe that, you know, lets him come in there with just no expectations and just see what happens.
Yeah.
But that'd be crazy, though, if you could imagine Spieth winning the PGA, back-to-back guys completing the Grand Slam.
Yeah, that'd be an insane story for the PGA Tour, which, I mean, maybe they need it. I don't know, but that would be an insane story to have it happen. And honestly, as somebody who gets a little Spieth fatigue, it'd be nice to just go ahead and get it over with, especially if we're going to have to talk about it every year.
Oh, yeah. It was a T34 finish. Yeah, T34 finish for Spieth at the Truist. Obviously, he had the fourth at the CJ Cup. And then he had a bunch of top 20 finishes prior to that. T14 at the Masters. T12 at the Valero. He was T18 at the RBC. We talked about it on the last show or the show before that he's had some top 10s this year. But, I mean,
he just doesn't look ready to contend.
Whenever it feels like it's so close, it's like he takes a step forward and then he takes two steps back, you know, so we'll see. I mean, it's Jordan Spieth. Like, he's still an amazing golfer. Anything could click at any time. And maybe this is his week, but as of right now, it's certainly not one of the main storyline. I mean, it is a top storyline, but it's not the very top like it was a few weeks ago after the good performance at the CJ Cup. So,
yeah, he's just too inconsistent. He just, he especially on a man, when you're playing on a bomber's course like this, you got to be dialed in with everything, your driver, your iron game. And I just think he's still same Jordan all over the map. Like he could come out. The storyline with him is he could come out and shoot 32 on the front nine Thursday and then shoot 39 on the back nine and be just as little of a storyline by the time the round's over.
Yeah. His best finish in a major was going back the last few years was T4 at the 2023 Masters. 2024 was a pretty mixed bag. One missed cut, T43, T41, T25, and then he was T14 at this year's Masters. So we'll see how he fares at the second major of the year, but who knows with Jordan Spieth. You never really know what you're going to get. It always seems like there's one part of the game that's not able to click. So did you guys catch that the TGL some trademarks have been filed by the TGL Golf League for expansion teams? We won't spend too long on this because it's kind of the off season for TGL, and it was a ton of TGL coverage this year for the first season, but Dallas, Detroit, and Chicago. They filed trademarks for all of those cities. The rumor is that Dallas is going to be the first expansion team, although the first trademark that appeared was actually for Motor City Golf Club, which would be a Detroit franchise. Are you guys excited for this? Are you looking for, I mean, Mike, you're a Dallas, guy.
Yeah, Dallas, absolutely. Yeah, that'd be really cool. I just hope that the big guys like Scotty and Jordan get in on that. I mean, there's so many big time pros that live in Texas and Dallas in particular. So it'd be really cool to see some of them put their names in the hat.
Yeah, it'd be like really good if Dallas got like a super team, like a winner, because like Dallas is not used to having winners really at anything. So
I know you're not talking cool. much.
I don't know, but anyway,
how many Super Bowls have the Falcons won? I'm sorry.
Zero. But
and by the way, they don't expire.
They don't expire. We don't ever have the expectations.
Right, Tim, they don't expire, right?
They don't expire. But you have to win one in order to have it not expire.
Listen, ours is coming. We got Michael Penix. But here's like seriously though, Dallas would be a great spot for TGL because they've got, like Michael was saying, so many but guys are Dallas based. Like it's huge. It would be big. Now the question that I would have was, how does it play into it? Like a potential, I know we're talking about team expansion, but I know we've also discussed on past shows, like league expansion in terms of like another facility on the other coast or maybe in the Midwest somewhere. Like, how does that play into it? Cause it's, as you get bigger, you're going to have another facility probably to get more big name guys to play. Cause I would think that some of those guys who are based on the West Coast or maybe even based in Dallas would have a hard time. Like, do I want to fly all the way to Florida on a Monday night just to play and then turn around and come back and try to go play a real tournament? I don't know. It's going to be fun to watch it expand though. Cause I think by all measures, they kind of exceeded every expectation that they had set for themselves. Yeah.
Yeah. There's, I mean, Dallas would be a great place for, you know, an expansion place and, or another facility. Anyway, just because with it being, you know, centrally based, that's why so many tour pros love living in Texas, is because it, you know, travel's never too bad. You know, if you have to go somewhere, that's why a lot of guys pick Texas as their home. That and maybe the tax breaks too, but that's a whole other can of worms.
How far is Fort Worth from there?
30 minutes from Dallas. Yeah, probably 40 minutes.
Oh yeah, actually, DFW. Depending on traffic. I get it. That makes sense.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's. But yeah, with all they've built there. In the Frisco area, yeah.
What are you guys' thoughts on this NBA draft drama?
That's the only thing that Dallas has won lately.
Rigged.
Is it rigged or what?
Rigged.
Sure feels like it. I mean, it feels like you know, the Mavericks made a deal with the league, or the league made a deal with Dallas, saying, you know, if you trade Luka to the Lakers, and we're going to try to facilitate a, you know, another Lakers Celtics finals, which obviously didn't work out anyway. We'll make sure you guys get the first pick and get Cooper Flagg. So
they might, I don't know, the people there, if he passes on Cooper Flagg, the people there, like if you thought the reaction to Nico Harrison was bad when he traded Luka, they may kill him. They may kill him. They may find him and kill him. If he passes on Cooper Flagg, because this would be two, like, the biggest cardinal sins you could commit as the general manager of a franchise. That would be just insane.
Not even just this draft in particular, but we can watch literally everything, but we can't watch the ping pong balls bounce. Like, why is that such a big secret and hidden behind the scenes? That'd be so, I'd rather watch the ping pong balls come out one at a time and find out that way. Like, just make it legit so that you can see it. When you hide stuff and then continuously a team with 1.8% chance wins it, or last year the team with 3% chance wins it, when those type of things happen more often than they should, then that's when people are going to come out of the woodworks and scream, you know, rigged or fixed or crooked or whatever.
Do you think it's rigged every year?
I mean, it's a lot more than not. It's a lot more than it should be.
Do you think last year's was rigged?
3%. 3%.
It was the Hawks and a bad draft.
So they pick a draft where there weren't that many great players to give the Hawks a team that needs really. Help. Yeah, a trash. And this year they could have used the first pick. Everybody could have, and they give it to the Mavericks. Every team, all those teams with 15 wins could have used that pick, but yet the team with 39 wins gets it. How's that work?
Look at what
were the odds for, you know, the LeBron getting to Cleveland, as soon as the Pelicans lost AD, they got Zion. I mean, there's a whole pattern.
But that's all fine and well. But like, I'll tell you what. An underrated part of this is the Spurs getting two, because I mean, all of a sudden they're going to have a pretty nice little foundation. They're going to have probably Dylan Harper, De'Aaron Fox, and Wimby to just build around to go Steven, with Castle.
Steven Castle, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. And here's another Spurs dynasty coming. Who knows?
I don't need that.
Joe Pompliano said, I'm not a big conspiracy theorist, but it seems awfully convenient that the Mavericks traded Luka to the NBA's biggest market and then got Cooper Flagg in return months later, despite having just a 1.8% chance to land the number one pick.
It's just insane. But
I'll say this too, though. Field Yates, I think, tweeted out that since they changed their lottery system in 2019, that the team with the worst record has not gotten the first pick, not once in the last 6 years. So,
which that's ridiculous.
The system was designed this way, so it's worked for what they wanted.
And I'm fine. They wanted to
keep it unpredictable, and it's worked so far.
I would not even say anything if we could literally watch the ping pong balls fall, but when you can't. When you can't see that, I mean, it's a joke, man. It's like saying, you know, it'd be like doing the NFL draft that way and nobody got to watch the ping pong balls come out. Could you imagine that uproar? I mean,
if they did the NFL draft that way, Shador would have got picked earlier than he did.
Yeah, I just expose it. Just show it. If you show it.
They do that in the NHL, though, John, right?
Yeah. They show the balls in the NHL.
See?
Oh. All right, we got to move on. We got to move on, fellas.
Wait. I wanted noted, notorious, huge NBA fan John's opinion.
Go Raptors. No. Go Raptors.
John's a big Sixer up there.
Yeah. Ryder Cup. So I don't know if you guys remember earlier in the year, I guess it would have been last year, the Ryder Cup ticket pricing came out and it was like insane, right? Mm-hmm. Ryder Cup tickets were extremely expensive for this year. I think it was $700 or $800 per day, right? Now there's a report out that the state of New York or PGA of America is going to be giving out complimentary Ryder Cup tickets to local New York area golf courses. They're going to be going at random to a bunch of courses and giving out 3,000 tickets. The reporting is that local first responders and community groups will be the first to benefit, with 500 tickets available for each of the three practice days and three tournament days, totaling 3,000 in all. PGA of America president Don Ray Jr. said the people's perk, it's called the people's perk, is a special way for us to celebrate the unparalleled dedication and enthusiasm of the New York golf community by providing them with memorable experience at the 2025 Ryder Cup. PGA of America is proud to share the excitement of golf's greatest team event with our host community. I mean, this is a fan engagement initiative, obviously. Giving out tickets to locals is certainly not a bad thing. Apparently, this was in the works well before pricing and things like that were established. It's obviously kind of a good PR move as well for the PGA of America after all the negativity surrounding the inflated pricing. I mean, what do you guys think?
Who knows if it was actually in place before, but it certainly sounds good to say so after the fact, right? Like, I think it's more PR than anything that this is huge for them, because I don't know how many tickets in total they're giving away. Did you say that?
3,000.
3,000, yeah.
3,000 in total or to each golf
total.
course?
Total.
In total? Yeah. So what's that in terms of the total amount of people, like percentage wise, that are coming to the Ryder Cup?
Yeah, it's not like a lot.
2%, like, something like that. Like, that's nothing.
There will probably be a record turnout at Bethpage.
Yeah. It feels like just a little pity. Like, here's a little throwaway. Now look at us better type of thing. Yeah. But
it is cool they're doing that for the first responders and whatnot, though. I will say that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. As a last responder. Yeah. That's totally fair.
Rest in pepperoni.
You truly are a last responder.
I am a last responder, boys and girls.
I shouldn't be laughing.
By the time you respond, it's over.
It's over. It's a part of life.
The fat lady has finished her song.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that is good, though. I'm, like you say, there's going to be just a massive, massive turnout for the Ryder Cup in New York. Like, it's going to be just.
Oh, I have the numbers actually now.
Okay.
2025 Ryder Cup at Bethpage is expected to draw an estimated 225,000 to 250,000 spectators over the week-long event. Yeah, I mean, pretty crazy. That's just great attendance. I mean, many people can drive in from around the neighboring states as well for an event like this. Huge for the economy there. This is going to be a wild one. I mean, New York golf fans know how to let their opinion be heard. It's going to be
pretty
crazy
much 2% of the total tickets that they're giving away.
Total, yeah. Like for the week. Yeah. 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 So
it is. This is
they can afford
huge.
It.
Yeah. Yeah. But the I'm just wondering how rowdy it's going to get. Like, that's going to be the wild thing.
It's going to be off the chain.
You're wondering?
As somebody who, like...
You're wondering?
Like, I want the traditionalism of golf to, like, just go out the window at the Ryder Cup. I want to boo people. I want to be screaming in their backswings. Like, I want all that stuff, and I want it to happen in New York.
It's going to be great. Imagine a Yankees-Red Sox Game 7 playoff game and take that to a golf course. That's what I would
be expecting. Like, is this, like, Game 7, like, that one year when the Yankees were up 3-0 and lost?
The year before when the Yankees walked it off, Aaron Boone.
Okay. Yeah. Don't let me get hot now.
I got you.
Don't let me win tonight.
I knew where you're gonna go with that. I was ready.
Okay. Ryder Cup's gonna be crazy. Looking forward to it this fall. The best event of the year. I mean, the major, like the Masters is top of the list, but the Ryder Cup from a golf fan experience perspective, nothing beats the Ryder Cup, and TV viewing is insane as well. So incredibly excited for that.
The only thing that would have made it better is if Montgomery was the captain for the European side. New Yorkers love Monty.
Oh yeah.
Him and Sergio. Like both of them.
Oh yeah.
There's a chance Sergio could be on the team.
Man, Monty used to get drilled by when they had the U.S. Open at Bethpage. Like, man.
Oh yeah.
It's gonna be exciting. I can't wait for it.
I think I might be most excited for that of everything this year. That Ryder Cup's been. I've had that circled on my calendar for a long time.
Did you guys hear about this Bryson DeChambeau feel-good story?
Yes. I have not, but Tim is not going to like it. I can guarantee you if it involves the Bryson in a positive light.
All right, we're going to put the story up Bryson on the screen. Actually, Joey, put the other graphic up. It has more. Yeah, so here's it. This is courtesy of Stephanie Rich Hayes on Facebook. She said, "Y'all, I can't even begin to explain to you the amazing person that Bryson DeChambeau is. Yesterday was such an awesome experience for my Evan Hayes. Not only did Bryson cover our experiences for flights and hotel, he invited us to his house where we hung out for the day. He is a busy person. We hung out while he did an interview and then shot some footage with video creator Zach King, who also gave Evan some merch. We got to see his gym and trophy room. He chipped balls with Evan out back on his putting green. We got a free range of his entire house. Evan got a full outfit from Bryson's closet. They also went to the course at Grapevine Golf Course in Texas. Such a humble person. He even stopped and talked and took pictures with everyone at the course who recognized him, which was pretty much everyone. Went back to his house after golf, watched the sunset from his rooftop deck, and then he took us to the airport. He is such a positive guy and gave Evan lots of great advice. This kid that's battling cancer, and Bryson DeChambeau just went completely like top to bottom, full on experience for the kid. Just goes to show like the type of person that Bryson is. This wasn't anything that was like in the mainstream media or anything like that. This is just the boy's mom taking to Facebook and telling everyone like what Bryson did for their family. Quite a story. I mean, if you're going through something like that, tough time in life, and there's a professional golfer of Bryson's stature, especially, that's willing to just spend the entire day with you, you know, to make your day better, create a memory that he's going to remember forever. That's mm-hmm. just an incredible experience for that kid.
Absolutely. He's put a, he's carrying your tour right now, Hutch. That is your saving grace Absolutely. Right now.
Well, he's the most popular golfer in the world.
Yeah. Like, yeah. He does so much good for the game. He does so much good for the game, and you know what he does on YouTube. And, you know, he didn't even want this to be public or anything. You know, this was just, you know, that boy's family, you know, making that public. He didn't want the publicity from this. This was just out of the goodness of his heart. And that's one of the best things about the PGA, or not the PGA, just golf in general. Correct myself, golf in general, you know, they do so much charitable work and do so many things behind the scenes that don't get talked about. And they're so interactive with the youth. And, you know, it's things that I wish that you could see from other professional sports, but they've been doing stuff like this for a long time, golfers in general. And, you know, I can't say enough good about Bryson. He's just top notch guy.
There are quite a few athletes from all sports that do this kind of stuff, but however, they also sign like a non-disclosure to where it's not publicized because they don't want the publicity, because they're doing it out of the goodness of their heart and they don't want it publicized as something different than that. I've read a lot of books where a lot of athletes have done things like that, and it's really cool.
Yeah, I mean,
Tiger actually does it quite a bit as well. Yeah, it's just you never hear about it. Like a lot of foundation work and stuff, but he does do things like at home. I've heard like some behind the scenes stuff that he's done at home. You know, meeting people at, you know, medalists and stuff like that. It doesn't really go documented all that much, but the stuff does happen. He does go out of his way for people, but he doesn't want it publicized. He's not the type of guy that wants it out there.
Yeah, this is the type of thing that's like, you know, Tim and Mike and I, and we have a good time with each other about LIV versus PGA Tour, but this just kind of transcends all that. This is just a star doing the right thing for somebody. So kudos Absolutely. To him. Good for him. He deserves to win the PGA. And carry a LIV flag across the 18th green for this.
Fellas, speaking of Bryson at the PGA, courtesy of Justin Ray, this guy's like a stat machine.
He's stat Jesus.
He's a dog on X.
At Justin Ray Golf on X. If you're not already following, I suggest you do. Putt make percentage at Quail Hollow from 10 to 15 feet since 2018. Field average 28.8%. Bryson DeChambeau 63.6%. So
that Bryson's feels like a lot putts. Better than normal.
Yeah.
Sounds like he's putting for a lot of pars.
Right back to the joshing, eh?
No, he can't help himself.
Yeah, we had our sappy moment. It's back to
no. I'm only going off that he's not like 80 under par, so that's it was a common sense point.
Bryson stat is in 8 rounds, not in 50 like Rory had. Like
that's okay. I think. Because when did Bryson make his, what was his first year on tour? Was it 16, 17,
something
like that. Anyway, that goes back to 2010, though. So, he has played nowhere near the amount of rounds those other guys have.
Yeah, and now he doesn't even play on a tour that plays Quail Hollow. So,
yeah.
Okay, picks for the PGA. I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to say that Rory is going to back-to-back at majors.
You are so bold, John.
I'm going with it, and I think, just the history of the course, I think his confidence level going into this event, he had a top 10 at the Truist, and he didn't even really have his best stuff. He said just as much post-round. He's over the hump now, I think, as well, and I would not be surprised if Rory McIlroy gets it done this week. 4 wins at Quail Hollow, a playoff appearance at Quail Hollow as well, 1 missed cut, like 10 top 10s, everything. Bombers, like a Bombers course where Rory's going to be able to take it over the corners if it's playing long. That's my pick. What's your guys?
We talked about it too, John. This, that winning the Masters could open the floodgates for him to win another handful of majors. So
I don't
hate that at all. It's hard for me to pick. Since you're taking Rory, it's hard for me to pick against Justin Thomas at Quail Hollow. Like, it really, really is. Plus, Ryan's the man, so I'd love to talk to Ryan on the show next week. So, yeah, give me JT.
I hear Tim's taking Neiman.
No. Is he even playing this week?
Yes, he is, because he's like the best player in the world.
I heard Taylor Gooch.
He's the best player in the world. What'd he finish at the Masters?
All right, he's top 10 in the world.
He's not better than John Rahm, that's for sure.
Maybe. Blocky's in the field there.
Tim wants Blocky.
I wouldn't take that guy if he was the only player.
We'll save that for Brent.
I wouldn't take him if he was the only player in the field.
Well, who are you taking then?
I'm torn between a couple
Nelly's
guys.
Nelly's not in the field.
Nah. Oh, Mike, who are you picking?
I'm going with Scotty. My heart's with Jordan, but I just feel like Scotty's game's rounded into form, and I think he's getting ready to go on a tear again.
Co-owner Brent has a pick, actually, I have to report.
All right, what's that?
Brent wants Blocky, he says.
Yeah,
he wants the block party to continue.
Brent wants that content machine to keep rolling.
He wants on our feed.
Yeah, don't let Block make another hole in one.
Holy, imagine.
Tim, I'm gonna pick Brooks Koepka for you.
Oh wow,
that's a good pick. That's a good pick.
Yeah, I mean. I feel wild with us taking the top 3 favorites to win the thing. So like I'll take JT if you want. I'll take Brooks Koepka.
I'm gonna pick Ricky Fowler.
Just because.
I mean, we could all sit here all day and pick the top 4 to 8 guys every time. That's standard, but you guys took 3 of the guys who I think are gonna win, so I'm gonna throw a wild card out there and say, I'm just gonna say Ricky Fowler's gonna shoot lights out and win it.
Well, let's do a sleeper pick too, since we just picked 3 of the favorites.
Because
I'll do Brooks Koepka for mine.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean. Probably Ludwig or
Him too.
Xander.
Yeah, the thing is, those guys aren't even sleepers. Like they're both great. Insane
players, but what I'm saying, John, like Mike, we did a little segment where it's like, pick who you want to win, and then the first 3 people pick the first 3 betting favorites to win. Like, you know what I'm saying? Let's just pick somebody who's not the top 3 favorites to win.
Okay.
I'm gonna do Fowler's my sleeper, and I'm gonna pick Shane Lowry to freaking take it this week.
Lowry could have been sleeper too.
I like that.
I'm gonna pick him to finish it all.
I'm gonna pick him to do an interview after his round.
Final round interview.
If Shane Lowry wins the tournament, he will most certainly do media after the tournament's over.
That's a good call.
Most certainly.
You think he's going to ask for 10 or 15 minutes first?
He probably wouldn't need it.
Yeah, maybe to drink 12
beers.
If he did,
he'd be putting some Guinness back. Yeah, that's what it is.
Fellas, before we go, huge media day tomorrow. This is probably one of the biggest media days I can remember in recent history. The lineup of guys that are speaking to the media tomorrow, it's just going to be quote after quote. So stay tuned for that. Starts out at 8:30 in the morning with Jordan Spieth, John Rahm at 10:30 JT, and then 11, there's just a casual PGA of America presser. Keegan Bradley at noon, Xander at 2, Bryson at 2:30, Scheffler at 3:30, Brooks at 4, Ludwig at 4:30, and Rory at 5. What a day.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's going to be a content hub on there tomorrow. So yeah, stay tuned for a ton of quotes on our account. We'll get as much up as we can. It can get a little bit chaotic when you're tracking that many pressers. I mean, there's going to be overlap, but there's going to be some newsworthy items out of those press conferences for sure. And we'll do our best to cover it as best we can. Apart from that, we will be going live on X for another show this Friday, special edition pod, following the second round action in the evening. And then once again, we'll be back on Sunday afternoon for our live reaction during the back nine. So we hope you guys will join us for that. Live on X, live on YouTube at Nuclear Golf. As always, you can find us after the fact on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon Music, typically available a few hours after the show concludes. At the latest, we'll have the show out tomorrow. But I'd like to thank everyone for joining us. If you guys could do us a favor and leave us a rating or a positive review, especially on Apple Podcasts, where a lot of people are searching for the pod, we would appreciate that. Helps us grow the podcast and continue to climb up the ranks. We appreciate you guys for tuning in. We enjoy doing this. Hope you guys enjoy the PGA Championship this week, and we will see you guys on Friday.
Friday night, baby.
Play concludes. My name is John. I've been joined tonight by Tim Bowman, Hutch Bennett, and Mike Carbone. I don't even think I introduced you guys at the start of the show this week.
We got more Tim this week than we're used to, so we're here.
Tim actually turned out okay. Tim's internet actually turned out okay. It's like a kid that like is born and he's like, oh,
I think he's on cell service right now.
John, I can't take credit for that because I'm on cell service.
And yeah.
My cell service is great. The internet, trash buckets.
All right, fellas, my computer is literally about to die, so I'm out.
All right. Peace out, boys. See you Friday night.
See you Friday night.